The word remember
and other words like it, memory and remembrance and memorial, is used over 200 times in the Bible, beginning in the first book and going to the last. And so this morning I have chosen just a few brief phrases in which those words are used. Some of the most important parts of the Bible. And so we start with the book of Exodus in chapter 13. verse 3. And Moses is talking to the people of Israel as they have just come out of Egypt. And Moses says, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by strength of hand. No unleavened bread shall be eaten on this day." And then later in the book of Exodus, Moses has come down from Mount Sinai. He's delivering the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. We are now in chapter 20 and commandment number 4. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. And then turning to the New Testament, 24th chapter of Luke, the women are standing in front of the empty tomb on Easter morning, and the angels say to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And lastly, from Paul's account of the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Some of you don't know this yet, but in some point in middle age, we all start worrying about Alzheimer's disease, that terrible brain condition in which we lose our memories. And so in middle age, when you can't remember something, even something minor, we panic because we think we are headed down that road toward the day when we will not be able to remember the names or faces of our loved ones. There are few ways of coming to the ends of our lives which seem more awful than sitting in a nursing home with our memory completely destroyed. Why is it that we so fear this? It is because memory gives us the capacity to know who we are. I remember my own name. I remember the town in which I grew up. I remember the people I have loved, the jobs I have done, and those memories constitute my identity. Memory also allows us to learn skills and to understand the basics of how to deal with life as it happens to us. And so because we remember, we can make good decisions about the future, benefiting from what we recall about our past successes and our past failures. So our memory is one of the most important elements in what makes us human. Now, in our brains, we have two quite distinct memory functions. The one that I call our routine memory allows me to tell you to know what I had for breakfast this morning. But I am completely unable, in this memory function, to remember what I had for breakfast a month ago or 5 years ago. But the second memory function, in a way it's more important, allows me to recall emotionally loaded experiences, both positive and negative, even if they happened a long time ago. I can tell you many vivid details about the first time my wife and I ever kissed. A very positive experience. I can tell you all about it. I can tell you where I was sitting in the study hall in high school when the principal announced over the intercom that President John F. Kennedy had been shot. Memories of those most emotionally significant moments in our lives remain readily available. They contain lots of details, and they often trigger in us the same feelings we had at the time the event was occurring. We need no help at all to remember those most important moments of our lives, both the joyful ones and the painful ones. But memory is more than just a personal matter. It's also a function of the community. Our identity as a nation, our identity as a town or as a church is shaped by our shared memories. We all know what we were doing and how we felt when we discovered the tragedies of 9/11. Those memories constitute part of the heritage of this country. And so by recalling the events that shaped our lives, such an important part of our community's life, we create memorials. A memorial is something that we do that triggers our memory together so we can be reminded of who we are and learn from our past successes and mistakes. There are lots of memorials that we just take for granted. The Sabbath day is a memorial. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So every seventh day, we are commanded to remember God's creation and to remember the necessity of times when we do not work if life is to be good as God created it to be good for us. On the Sabbath, we are commanded to rest and remember. And the Feast of Passover, which has been celebrated by the Jewish people for more than 3,000 years, is a memorial, reminding them of that awful time when the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt. Passover is a feast of remembering God's mighty act of defeating the powers of Pharaoh and rescuing the people. And so every year they gather and they eat special foods and they remember. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, is a memorial. As Paul recounts what Jesus said at that Last Supper in the upper room, he tells us that Jesus took ordinary actions and gave them a new significance. People broke bread and drank wine every day. But Jesus commanded his disciples to break the bread and drink from the cup and remember. Do this in remembrance of me, is what he said. So through all the days since that day, the followers of Jesus have shared bread and wine and remembered. And so as well in our nation, the last Monday of the month of May is a memorial. When the holiday was first established, it was called Decoration Day, but now we call it Memorial Day. I didn't know much about Memorial Day, and so, of course, I looked it up on Wikipedia. I discovered that this holiday began after the Civil War, as our nation reunited, was trying to find ways to recover from the horrors of that conflict. Both in the North and in the South, people went to cemeteries to put flowers on the graves of soldiers who had died in that conflict. In the years since then, as our nation has continued to be involved in armed conflicts, Memorial Day traditions have grown and become more important. As decade after decade, heartbroken families and heartbroken communities gather in cemeteries to honor men and women who died while serving in our country's military. And so tomorrow, it is right that we remember individually the people we have known and loved who served and died as soldiers. Ancestors about whom we may have been told by our grandparents, close family members, distant kin who may be known to us as war casualties only by the date and place of their death, neighbors, classmates, business associates, friends. Tomorrow, each of us will remember them. And here at Wildwood Church, we will remember Joey Dimmick. But as I said, the purpose of a memorial goes beyond our individual remembering of our own life experiences. As a national holiday, Memorial Day invites us tomorrow, as a community, to expand our vision beyond a particular gravestone in a particular cemetery, so that we can see all the graves in all the cemeteries across this nation and around the planet. Memorial Day invites us as a nation to remember the cost of war. It is hard, it may be impossible, to overstate the price that humanity has paid through the centuries for the institution of warfare between nations and within nations. Now, statistics can be misleading, and estimates of military and civilian casualties cannot be precise. I'm not an expert on such things, but I know how to do a little bit of internet research, and I was profoundly saddened to discover that by a conservative estimate, the number of casualties from warfare in the 20th century, in one single century, was more than 100 million people. 100 million individuals. 20 million soldiers and civilians died in World War I. 50 million soldiers and civilians died in World War II. I found a count of the total number of wars that were fought in the 20th century. 165 conflicts in which more than 6,000 people were killed. I could go on, but I'm sure I've said enough. The point of remembering is not to relive the awful times, the sad moments. The point of remembering tomorrow as a nation is to honor the courage and valor of our war heroes, to recall the values and principles that motivated them, and to learn how we in our day can make choices, can act in ways that people in the future will honor. But we who are here today are not just a gathering of Americans. We're a gathering of the disciples of Jesus. And so when we as Christians celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, we must also remember him, the Prince of Peace. We remember so we can learn from him how to live the life that God created for us and for all of his human children in every century, in every corner of this planet, life created to be abundant and good, a life of justice and truth, a life of harmony between peoples and nations, a life of peace. The weather forecast says that tomorrow will be a nice enough day for us to celebrate as families and neighbors, throwing some brats on the grill in the backyard. But along with everything else we do, let us make tomorrow a memorial day, a day when we remember. And if we remember Jesus, what he said, what he did for us, if we remember and honor the men and women, our relatives and neighbors who served in the military and made the ultimate sacrifice, if we remember the horrific cost of war, how can we not dedicate ourselves to pursue the goals of liberty and justice and peace for all humankind? Every year, our nation's Memorial Day should bring about a rebirth of commitment and energy and enthusiasm, especially among spirit-filled followers of Jesus, to dedicate ourselves, giving our lives to the cause of freedom and equality and justice and harmony and peace. Sometimes preachers try to pull it all together at the end of their sermon with a poem, hoping that the skill of the poet can communicate more eloquently what the preacher has said. Today I want to conclude with the words of Abraham Lincoln, spoken on November 19, 1863, on the site of the Battle of Gettysburg. Imagine yourself standing there on a cold November day, listening to the president speak, in a place where over 8,000 soldiers of the Union and the Confederacy had died. Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives so that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.